This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek.
Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your program for exploring sex, sexuality, and self. Andrew the Apprentice and Tim Little are with you. And this coming weekend, it is the Festival of Sex Work, being organised by the Vixen Collective. The Vixen Collective aims to overcome divisions between workers and acknowledges the links between us all. Joining us from the Vixen Collective is Jane. Good evening, Jane.
Hi.
Welcome to this program.
Welcome.
Fabulous to be here.
Tell us a little bit about the Vixen Collective.
Yes, absolutely. Vixen Collective is Victoria's peer-only sex worker organisation. So what that means is we are an organisation comprised entirely of sex workers, current and former sex workers, and we're a volunteer organisation, and we're an unfunded organisation. So we don't receive any government or private funding, and so we run entirely on volunteer energy and donations by sex workers themselves.
That's great. The community themselves fundraise and help out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how long have you been involved with the collective?
Well, I've been here in Melbourne for about 3 years.
Yep.
I'm not actually originally from Australia. You might notice I have a bit of a suspicious accent.
There was a bit of a twang.
Yeah,
yes.
18 years I've been in this country and I still sound like a New Zealander.
Oh, no.
But Vixen itself's been around for almost 10 years. We actually have our anniversary in October.
Fantastic.
And how long have you been doing these Festival of Sex Work days?
Well, we had our first festival in 2012, and this is actually our third one because we did skip a year last year. So, it's our third festival, and we're very proud to be putting it on again.
So, the festival is running. We'll briefly mention the festival. It's happening this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
That's right.
Most of the events are around North Melbourne, is that right?
That's right. We have a mixture of public events and sex worker only events, and we don't disclose the locations of the sex worker only events.
Sure.
Because we keep them as safer spaces just
yep.
for sex workers.
Yep.
But the majority of the public events are in North Melbourne, although we do have one public rally on the Sunday, and that's in Swanson Street at the State Library.
Fantastic. So we're going to go through what's happening at the festival a bit later on, but as you mentioned, Vixen Collective is made up of volunteers who, with an experience of sex work.
That's right.
And so that would imply that yourself has been a sex worker in the past?
I'm a current sex worker here in Melbourne. And I also tour and do sex work around Australia. And I have been a sex worker for a bit longer than I generally admit, because it lets people work out my age. But let's just say that it's over 20 years now.
Wow. So, lots of experience.
And what brought you into that line of work?
I actually started doing sex work because I was supporting myself to go through university, which is a bit of a cliche now, mm-hmm. but it was actually quite unusual when I was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I supported myself going through a degree, and I was doing street sex work to do that.
And was that in New Zealand?
That was in New Zealand, and that was when all sex work in New Zealand was still criminalised at the time.
Wow, okay.
Wow.
So as a sex worker under that regime, shall we say,
yep.
How did you feel like going, did you feel safe being on the streets or not?
Well, yes and no, mostly no, I have to say.
Right.
I don't think any sex worker who works in a criminalised regime would say that it's a good situation to be in, because there's a massive barrier in place in terms of being able to go to the police if something goes wrong.
Yeah.
Because generally speaking, the police are not your friend in that scenario. They're very likely to actually arrest you.
Yes.
Rather than help you. And when criminalisation is in place, it drives a lot of the stigma and prejudice that sex workers face, because people regard us basically as criminals, because under the law we are. And so it wasn't an easy situation to work in. I think certainly sex workers at the time when I was working, we build our own systems of support, and I'm queer, so as being part of the LGBTIQ community as well, that certainly around that time wasn't an easy thing to be part of that community either. I come from small town New Zealand, and I moved to a larger town to go to university, and so I'd experienced a lot of stigma and violence around that too, and you build systems of support around that as well. So I think regardless of your circumstances, often you build very close ties with people that have similar circumstances when you're facing that sort of hardship. So there are good parts that you have to those times, even when the times themselves are very hard.
Sure. You mentioned that you're queer. Do you only do queer sex work, or do you do heterosexual sex work?
I do a broad variety of sex work. And I have clients that are of all genders, and I do BDSM as well.
Yeah.
So, and I enjoy seeing clients of a variety of genders and who have a variety of needs, because to be honest, one, it's work, and people often ask me about that, and I've actually written about that. So it is a job.
But any job, you need diversity in any job, don't you?
Yeah, because it keeps it interesting.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of the difficulty that people have getting their head around sex work is that they view the sex part of it and think, okay, you have to be attracted to every client.
Sure.
And that attraction has to be based around the sexual.
Sure.
And it is, okay, it's helpful if that goes on as well.
Yes.
But it's not completely necessary. And also not all of the attraction has to be based around the purely sexual. So when you look at other types of work, for example, other service industries, and let's be honest, sex work is a service industry.
Yes.
If you have customers, for example, if you're working in a restaurant and they're really annoying, then that's going to make your life and your work more difficult.
Sure.
And the same things play out. Whereas if you have customers that are really nice and very pleasant, then that's going to make your work more enjoyable. And that plays out exactly the same in sex work. And whether or not they're incredibly attractive to you on a sexual level, if they're really enjoyable people and really pleasant, then you engage with them on that level as well.
Sure. So you mentioned that it's a job. Does that take the joy out of sex for you, or do you enjoy it?
No, not at all. And my partner, she's a sex worker as well.
Yes.
I still go home and have sex.
Yeah.
She'd be very upset if we didn't. So, no, absolutely it doesn't take the joy out of sex for me. Like, I think like anyone else who works in any occupation, some days I'm really tired and I might get lazy.
I've got a headache, sorry, I can't do it.
Yeah. I don't really have a headache. I think all shagged out might be more of a literal expression when it comes to my job. But, you know, you have your days when you're really tired and you have other days. And I do find my work energizes me.
Yes.
And also I probably have more ideas and skills when it comes to things to do in the bedroom than possibly, you know, your average office worker.
Yes, of course.
Because I've had a lot of practice. So
practice
I think
makes perfect,
indeed.
Right?
So I think that feeds into my sexual life.
So your partner, did you meet your partner through the community, I guess?
In a sense, actually, because I do a lot of advocacy work for my community and a lot of public speaking on sex worker rights, I met my partner through sex worker advocacy.
Great, great. And you said you grew up in small town New Zealand.
Yes.
Went to uni in a big city.
Slightly bigger, Christchurch.
Christchurch.
In fact.
So in your social network outside of sex work, did others know that you were a sex worker?
Oh, I was so far in the closet about being a sex worker that I was out the back in a Narnia. I was very concerned that if people found out that I'd be shunned. So it's like, and being queer and being a sex worker, it's like there's two closets.
Yes.
Yeah. And so it's like leading two double lives. So I very much came out of the closet twice. And I was very concerned about both of those things, particularly coming from a small town.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly thought that I was going to get beaten to death if my family found out that I was queer. And I wasn't necessarily wrong, because I was beaten up by a couple of family members that found out. Like, I come from a deeply homophobic upbringing. And even recently I've had issues. Like, I go back to visit my mother, who I still have some contact with.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I stay in a hotel under an assumed name, and I do not let other family members find out where I am.
Wow.
So
okay.
it's that level of prejudice where, gosh, I come from. So,
and that's just being queer.
Let alone the sex worker thing.
Yeah.
I think what's interesting to me is there is one family member, because it came out, I think, about 5 years ago that the rest of the family found out that I was a sex worker. And there's one family member who's actually better behaved now that they've found out I'm a sex worker, even though they're deeply homophobic. And it's like they think there might be a chance that I'll turn back to the, like, path of life because I fuck men for a living.
Wow.
They think I might turn good again or something.
Oh.
And I don't know, like, how to think about that. Like, it's almost a more offensive concept, but they'll speak to me now because there's a chance.
Yeah. Gosh. In your conversations with members of the sex worker community, is this a common story?
In terms of
the
experiencing
the
that level of prejudice?
Yeah.
With your family.
With family,
especially.
Yeah.
Interestingly, one of the films we're showing at the film night is about sex workers coming out to their families.
Right.
And I think people get all sorts of reactions, and not necessarily the reactions you might expect. Some people's families are absolutely fine. And I know people that have had reactions that have, what you might think from the outside, are atypical. But my partner, for example, her father is fantastic. And you might often expect, like, fathers would not be fantastic about daughters being sex workers.
Sure.
So I think it's a very individual thing. I think it really just depends on the family dynamic and the people involved. And I think realistically, not that I have children, so I can't speak about that. I do have nieces and nephews that I was close to, and actually I'm not allowed to speak to some of them now. What I think people should care about is that people are happy and that they're doing a job they enjoy, or at least that satisfies them, and that they are safe and they have good labour rights and good human rights, and that those are the sort of things that I'm, as an advocate, are fighting for. And people shouldn't hate people just because of the work they do.
Exactly. And you speak a lot about relationships here, and you say your current partner is a sex worker as well. Have you dated someone that wasn't a sex worker, and how did they react when they found out?
Yeah, I've had relationships outside and inside the industry. I've had, the last person I dated that wasn't a sex worker was absolutely fine with it. I think the only thing that they found aggravating was that when I was dating them, I was a private sex worker.
Right.
And that meant basically you're running your own business and you answer the phone a lot because you're taking bookings for clients. Even if that the next day or the next week. And
even if you're at dinner.
Yeah. And you're like, and so they found that really aggravating. But I think that would be the same if I was a roofer.
Or like a plumber. True. But you don't want to miss out on a job, do you?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't think that had anything to do with the sex work. But by the same token, when you're in the position of being a sex worker and you're looking to date people, you actually become very critically aware of selecting people that aren't going to put stigma on you, because it's so self-defeating.
Yeah.
And I'm an older person that's been through that before, and I wouldn't do that to myself again.
Fair enough.
Hide and Seek.
Joy 94.9, Hide and Seek, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice, Tim Little, talking with Jane from the Vixen Collective in the lead up to the Festival of Sex Work on this weekend around Melbourne. Now, Jane, on quite, I don't know, I presume the ABC didn't find out the Festival of Sex Work was happening and decided to air this program Monday night?
I don't think so.
Well, maybe they did, but, you know, who knows?
I think it's a hot topic at the moment.
It is a bit of a hot topic, and they sort of merged two topics. On Four Corners this just past Monday, Escorts, the Hidden World of Transgender Sex Workers was on air, telling the story of three Filipino women, and also part of the story was also Nora, who originally grew up in Greece. It was fairly frank, I would say. I came across it, wasn't planning to watch it, but ended up watching it, knowing we were talking about this tonight. My take on it was fairly that it was a frank discussion, and that I suppose being in the community ourselves, there's certain questions that we know to ask and not to ask trans people, which were the ones that we wouldn't ask, were asked in the program.
Yes.
And there was also, explicit use of and showing of ice being used, and also Nora, the latter person in the documentary, was described as not have had a STI check in 7 years, I think it was. And so I went away from the program a bit perplexed, and I was wondering how the community was going to react to this program. Have you heard about reactions?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I will be honest, I didn't actually see the program.
Yep.
But I think there's been a number of consistent reactions. But to contextualise it, I think there's one thing that perhaps hasn't surprised people. And across community, we're very used to a consistent theme of sensationalism when it comes to mainstream media representations of sex work and sex workers in Australia. And by that, I mean we're a very easy target on the internet, I think you'd refer to it as clickbait, but on television, I don't know of the of a similar term, but it's a very hot topic to draw viewers. And we're a very stigmatised and discriminated against community. And the ability of the media to not think about the consequences of running stories that further contribute to that stigma and further drive discrimination against our community is quite profound. So some of the things that occurred in that story that I'm aware of that have been discussed within our community since it aired are things like the very inappropriate use of language.
Mm-hmm.
So terms like prostitute and prostitution
were
used continuously throughout that piece, as I understand it. And for a very long time now, it's been known that the preferred terms for sex work and sex workers. And when I say the preferred terms, that's not just that sex workers like those terms and sex worker organisations recommend those terms, but the United Nations and the World Health Organization recommend those terms. So it's very disappointing to see Australian media organisations still not using those when they know that those are stigmatising terms. Also, when they run parts of a story like the reference to the STI check and don't contextualise it against the background of 25 years of medical research in Australia showing that sex workers in Australia have better STI rates that are lower than the general population and higher compliance with condom use, it's really, again, drives stigma. So I think things like that are done very much deliberately because it's not like they're unknown. They made no attempt to reach out to sex worker organisations to present a balanced view and get sex worker organisations to contribute things like that so that there was actually that part of the equation there. There were, as I understand it, comments made during the show where people's pronouns were used incorrectly. So trans women,
I think I picked that out when I was watching.
Were referred to as he rather than she.
Yes.
And that's deeply offensive.
Sure.
And I think people were questioned during the show as to whether they had undergone full reassignment surgery, which is just incredibly evasive and inappropriate. So I think there's a real lack of respect with the way that those women were treated. And I think What's disappointing about that is that it wasn't surprising.
Sure. What about the stigma of drugs being rife in the industry?
Yeah, and look, that's yet again another thing that comes back to a long history of evidence showing that sex workers don't have higher rates of drug use. And if you're going to put out a program that talks about that and not also talk about the fact that there's evidence that shows that's not the case, mm-hmm. and also evidence that shows that it's not the case that sex workers enter sex work to pay for drugs, because there's consistent evidence that that's not the case either,
sure.
then realistically all you're doing is driving stigma against my community, and you're doing it not on the basis of evidence, but on the basis of stigmatizing views.
Yeah,
sure. As a sex worker, are there certain things that you won't do when you are asked to have sex with somebody?
Well, if they're a client, I won't do it for free. I'm not sure. You'd have to give me an example.
Oh, like drugs, for example.
Look, I tend to think... if we're talking about the war on drugs as a concept, and I'm speaking about my personal views here, not in terms of being a representative of an organisation, I think there's real problems with policies that end up incarcerating large numbers of people for acts that don't harm society at large, but relate to their personal conduct. But again, there is statistical evidence that shows that sex workers do not have rates of drug use that are out of sync with the general community.
Sure.
As you mentioned during the tonight, you know, Vixen Collective is in part a strong advocacy body.
Mm.
Has there been discussions that you're aware of, at least, between the different organisations across the country as to presenting some sort of rebuttal in some way, I guess, or at least a point of view to ABC about the program?
Well, I mean, we consistently, all the time in the advocacy work that we do, push back against the negative views that are portrayed on our community in the media all the time. And it is something that happens every day. There are stories in print media, in television, all the time, almost on a daily basis. And what we do in our advocacy to government, to policymakers, in writing opinion editorials, is push back against that continually. And it is a continual process. And sometimes that involves things like making complaints to media authorities. But realistically, it is a constant process.
Sure.
Joy
94.9. Hide and seek. Joy 94.9, this coming weekend is the Festival of Sex Work. It is a celebration of the lives, skills, culture and community of sex workers. Jane, it seems like a very busy program for 3 days.
Yes, it is, actually.
So, Friday night, it kicks off at 6 p.m. and then there's an art exhibition and then there's a discussion panel. So can you tell us a little bit about the first night of the festival?
Absolutely. We have a discussion panel on opening night with five different sex workers. We have Cam Cox, who's a former street-based sex worker from Sydney. He currently writes and lectures on sex worker rights, and he's actually the CEO of the Sex Workers Outreach Project in New South Wales. We have Dallas Taylor, who's a full-service sex worker, a trans man, but who works as a female, and he's mostly worked in Sydney and Melbourne. We also have Lucy B, who's an escort, sex geek and gamer girl, and she's actually spent a lot of time in the papers lately talking to journalists. We have Mistress Lux, who's a professional dominatrix specialising in humiliation, degradation and psychological torture. And we also have Ryan Cole, who began in her sex work career in Melbourne but now works in Sydney, and she is actually the current president of the Australian Sex Workers Association, the Scarlet Alliance.
And the panel is about asking a question to a sex worker. My first question after you did that bio was, what's a full-service sex worker?
That's someone that has sex actual sex,
right,
for a living. The
as opposed to
there's a variety of different types of things you can do as a sex worker. So some people have sex, some people, for example, dominatrixes do BDSM, which may not involve sex of
penetration.
Sex. Yeah.
Some people engage in stripping, some people do phone sex. So there's a variety of different acts.
There we go. That's what I've learned tonight.
There you go.
Definitely.
Me too, actually.
There we go. Okay. During the day on Saturday, you really focus on the community itself, don't you?
Yes. We've got a number of workshops during the day on Saturday. And so that's really a chance for peer education and skill sharing. So we've got sex work and publishing, which concentrates on blogs, newsprint, research, and really, again, pushing back against whorephobia. So that's a chance for workers to come together and discuss and skill share around ways to do personal advocacy. We have a BDSM skill share for workers who want to do a bit more of BDSM and kink and pick up ideas around that. We have an anal play workshop, so discussing all sorts of interesting things like prostate massage and different types of orgasms that can be achieved through butt play and fabulous stuff around that. And we also have a dating dramas workshop, and that's a group for people to get together and share experiences around dating while being a worker.
So I've just picked up on the first one there, sex work and publishing. I'm guessing in many ways sex workers need to be very media savvy, in media, social media savvy, let's say, because I would have thought that that's an avenue that you need to engage with.
Yes and no, it depends. I mean, I think if you're wanting to market yourself as a sex worker these days in terms of marketing your business,
yep,
then absolutely. I think social media is very important. But also because the laws in terms of sex work, mm-hmm, vary from every state and territory in Australia, some of the laws actually prohibit us from marketing ourselves on social media effectively and can be very, very restrictive. So we actually have
Which includes Victoria, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. So, for example, in Victoria, you're not allowed to have full-length photos of yourself. You're only allowed to have head and shoulder shots.
Right.
So, obviously, for a community that's quite heavily stigmatised and discriminated against, having what's basically amounts to a passport photo of yourself isn't very attractive. But also, it doesn't really make sense when you can have half-naked ladies draped over a car when you're selling a car, but yes, you only have head and shoulders shots when you're selling sex. So, a lot of these laws don't really make a lot of logical sense.
So how do you get around that? Do you send people to another website, that sort of thing?
Well, you really, like, you have to be very careful when you say things like get around it, because because you have this whole sort of bureaucratic apparatus called the CAV, which is Consumer Affairs Victoria,
yes,
and this other entity called the Victorian Police, that if they get the idea that you're trying to get around it,
yeah,
they like to do things like fine you and potentially arrest you.
Yep.
So,
so no getting around it, but
no
getting
around it.
Yes.
Bad choice of language.
And then Saturday night, you've got a film night.
Yes, we do. And
which is open to the public.
It is, and certainly we encourage people to come along to that. We've got a range of films. We've got films like Let Me Save You Before Someone Else Does, which is an Australian film. We've got 69 Things I Love About Sex Work. We've got Coming Out as a Sex Worker, which, as I mentioned before, is about actually coming out to family and friends. We've got You're a Winner, which is by the Australian performance artist Sprinkle Magic. And we've got Booking with a Worker in a Decriminalised State, which I have to say is my favourite.
Right.
And it actually runs through what an actual booking is like with a sex worker, but with Barbie and Ken dolls.
Wow.
Like animation type, you know.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Wow, cool.
That's very clever.
And then Sunday morning, no rest for the wicked.
No.
You're up to the Red Umbrella Rally.
That's right.
And then, that's at the State Library.
That's correct.
So is it... What time would you recommend people get there if they wanted to come along?
I'd say get there about 11:45.
Yep.
We have speeches from 12. We have a number of Victorian sex workers speaking about working conditions and laws in Victoria. And definitely encourage sex workers and supporters and allies to come along.
And then sex workers are heading to a lunch.
Yes, that's a sex worker only event, yep, but that's an important community event for us to get together and actually have some fun.
Yeah, and it sounds like fun on Sunday night as well.
Yes, we get to have a party.
Party? So what's happening at the party?
We have sex worker performances, and we actually have something called a wardrobe, which is, people often ask about, we get to use words like that, but that's one of those things where we're allowed to use that word, but you're not unless you're one of us. But what that actually is we get together with all of our dresses and shoes that we don't want to wear anymore, and we swap them all.
Oh, wow. Okay.
For like a small donation. And that's one of the ways that Vixen does some fundraising, so that we've got money to put towards our advocacy efforts for the next year. And also, someone else's shoes that they don't want anymore can be really exciting.
Yes. Well, yeah, very good. Very
Cinderella. Good.
Going indeed.
So we should just reiterate, the ones for the public, Friday night, the opening, the art exhibition, and also the discussion panel.
That's right.
The film night's on Saturday night from 7 o'clock at the Courthouse Hotel.
That's right.
We should say Friday night is also at the Courthouse Hotel in North Melbourne. And, of course, the rally on Sunday.
And the art exhibition actually runs throughout the entire 3 days.
So call into the courthouse and have a look anytime over the weekend.
That's right.
Fantastic. Now, more information. I've got the Festival of Sex Work, all one word, .blogspot.com.au.
That's us.
That's it. So, Jane, a big big thank you for coming in this evening. What are your key recommendations for people who want to find out more about the community? What would you say to somebody who wants to find out more about the community?
Well,
just engage.
Well, definitely for a start, come along to the festival.
Yeah.
But Vixen regularly has events. We regularly hold rallies. We do public education events. I would say connect with our website. We certainly appreciate allies. Sex workers can't get across the line in terms of advocating for our rights alone. We need people to support us in fighting for our labour rights and our human rights. And we will appreciate anyone that can stand with us in our fight.
As we've heard on the show numerous times over the years, for a whole range of different communities, talking to somebody who is stigmatised within our community, no matter what that type of stigma is a great way for that stigma to start getting broken down.
Yeah, and the key thing is sex workers need to have their voices heard, and so often we are silenced or other people attempt to speak for us, and that's a key concern for our community. So simply listening to sex workers and recognising that sex workers are the people that need to be heard on the topic of sex work.
Jane, thank you so much for coming in this evening. All the best for the weekend.
Thank you so much.
And yeah, all the best, and have a great festival.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hideandseek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au. Hide and Seek is presented by Andrew the Apprentice, James Findlay, and Avi Miller. Post-production by David Cheshire.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation. Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.